We're telling others what he's done, and yet it lifts us all at the same time. And I just want to encourage you again, just think about what you say with your words, because if you use them correctly, you actually bring something to the spirit of an individual and raise them up. And I'm so terribly guilty of not fulfilling that at times, but you know, we can do so much good with just speaking the right thing at the right time. Anyway, so what does God want to say this morning? Let's turn into God's word if we can. And if we can just flip up the first slide. This is our theme this morning. A funny picture to put with the title, Finding the Fullness of God. And I'll reference the little fella. You obviously know some of, you know the story behind that, I hope, the Oliver Twist. But finding the fullness of God. But we're going to read a couple of scriptures, and starting with Isaiah 60, a few verses from the beginning, and then one verse in Colossians 2. Verse 1 of Isaiah 60, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." And then Colossians 2:9, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness." I don't know about you. I wonder if you ever sort of stop and question things. I'm generally one of those sort of people that make the journey, then discover the mistakes after I reach my destination. And but sometimes it's good just to stop and question what we do. You know, what we say, what we sing, our actions. You know, is it biblical? Is God pleased with that? Do we ever stop and ask such questions? And I've been thinking about something for some time now. And again, I want you just to run with me through this, because it will sound like I'm bashing something, and I'm actually not trying to do that at all. But there seems to have come a new phrase in worship songs, and it goes something like this: "I want more of you, Lord. I want more of you, Lord. I want more of you, Lord." And we've got one or two songs that we sing, and that go very similar to that. And yet, amongst all of those words, you get some incredibly powerful things as well. You know, the one that comes to mind is, "I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control." I hope that you feel the zeal of the songwriter from that, that something of God's spirit wants to burn within each of you. But it's something about this "the more of God" thing that started to sort of cause me to stop my bus, if you like, and say, well, why are we singing like this? Is it biblical? Is it right? Et cetera, et cetera. Equally so, coming back to the, you know, the idea of setting a fire down in my soul, I want to really stress this morning that we have to take everything as it comes to us and allow God to minister in our spirits. There's no question that, for instance, Jeremiah, it says the word of God burned within him. There was this strong sense, I can't do anything but speak what God says. There was that fire that burned within him. Paul says that the love of Christ compels me. He was urged to go through all he went through, the beatings and the batterings, the rejections, that we don't want you, Paul, but still compelled to do what he was doing. And so there's so much good that we sing as well, and I want us to keep the balance in that. But I want to ask if you can, we can just flip back to the picture, Richard, of Oliver, and do we find ourselves in this sort of situation, almost at times begging God to give us something? You know, "God, please give me some more. You know, please can I have some more, Lord?" And I get a sense in which God would also want to say to us, "I don't know what more I can give." And if we were to turn it the right way around, I remember sitting upstairs some little while ago, and I was just thinking about it, and we were singing one of these songs, and the response I suddenly felt in my heart was, from God, was, Paul, I actually want more of you. That is the right way round. And when you give more of you, guess what? You get the more of God. The writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 5. He says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk is still being an infant, not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and out of faith in God, but instruction about cleansing rites and the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. God permitting, we will do so. And I'm kind of looking at my life and I'm thinking, how many of those things am I still dealing with? In other words, do I need to be taught, encouraged? And am I still drinking from the milk bottle and not actually going for the food? And I felt this was a little bit like this when we're crying out for more of God. It was almost like God saying, it's a bit like the milk. You know, step above, go a bit higher than asking for the more. Look and search for what you're really after. Songs like, There Must Be More Than This. I wholly believe that is true. And I want us to keep singing those sort of songs. I don't want us to keep singing all the songs we do. But there has to be more of God. We haven't arrived. And there are still experiences that we've still got to find in God. And I hope that on our journey, that we together as a church, that we will be able to do this. So I want to make it absolutely clear this morning. We're not saying to Mark, go home this afternoon, rip all of the songs out of the songbook that say, I want more of God. We will keep singing. And I felt God say, keep the balance. Don't swing the balance so far that you then give yourself another problem, because then you really have to readjust. It's all about knowing what God wants from our lives. I personally believe in the statement, we've used it here many times before, but you are as full of God as you want to be. You are as full of God as you want to be. In other words, if I decide to say to God, you can come into my life, but you can only have this half of this temple, but this half is for me, then guess what? I'm not going to get the fullness of Christ in my life. How much room do we allow for God to come in and to speak to us? I've had this kind of thought rumbling around enough for about a year in my mind and sort of working it through. And to my amazement, somebody had given me a copy of Christianity magazine on one of my travels. And I was thumbing through it, just looking. And I came across this article. And it's actually written by Steve Chalk. And I know some of you think, ooh, is he okay? You know, let's just hold on to that for a minute. Yeah, I believe so. But he wrote this article, and it's about a conference that he was at. And I want to read some of this article to you, if I may. He says this. He says, I've never seen anything like it before or since. He said, I've been booked to speak at a conference with Jackie Pullinger, the well-known inspirational founder of the St. Stephen Society, who has spent much of her life working with drug addicts in Hong Kong. We both had spoken at several seminars, but on this particular evening we sat together on the front row of the auditorium as part of a 4,000-strong audience with a rare opportunity to listen to others. Towards the end of the evening, as the band led up a series of worship songs, the evening's host encouraged us all to cry out to God for an outpouring of more of his spirit in our lives. In response, the hall was soon filled with hundreds of men and women, many weeping, standing or kneeling with arms raised as they implored, more Lord, more Lord, give me more Lord. As I watched the scenes around me, I glanced across at Jackie. She wasn't looking very comfortable. Not only were her arms not raised, She didn't appear to be lost in wonder, love, and praise. In fact, she seemed distinctly agitated. Not wanting to embarrass her, I looked away. But oh, sorry, yeah, okay. Sorry, thank you, Tim. For those of you who don't know, Jackie Pullinger is a well-known, I'll say a well-known, obviously not if I'm telling you who she is. I'm about to tell you that she's a well-known person who God spoke to quite dramatically some years ago and asked her to go to Hong Kong. And a remarkable, remarkable woman who's been dealing with drug addicts and all sorts of people, helping people with addictions, and is highly respected in Christian circles. Okay, so for Steve, this was an honour to be sitting next to this lady, and this was part of his issue because he felt a little bit insignificant in comparison to her. But anyway, not wanting to embarrass her, he says, I looked away, but it only took a couple of minutes before my inquisitiveness about her state of mind got the better of me, and I had to take another look. Jackie had disappeared. I glanced around the hall, but she'd completely vanished. I looked up at the stage, and my question was answered. There she stood in one of the wings, obviously planning an entrance. I never forgot what happened next. Jackie strode out into the glare of the spotlights with mic in hand, and this is what she said. I hear people crying out to the Lord, more, Lord, give me more, Lord. I need more, Lord, she exclaimed as she stood gazing at the scene below her. But I know what your problem is. You're on the wrong diet. And she goes on to say that what's happened is, a little bit like the Oliver Twist, is that we come and we're constantly begging God for this more, and sometimes we don't seem to see or receive anything. And she said she refers to it as like a pot noodle. In that what it does, it gives you an instant fulfillment, but after a short period of time, you're hungry again. And she goes on to say this. She said, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. It was an extraordinary statement. We are conditioned to think of work as exhausting and draining, even dehumanizing. But counterintuitively, Jesus presents his work as doing the will of God, as the source of his nourishment and energy. And that was Jackie's point. If you want more of God, you will find him, she said, in acts of service. Discovering more of God is not so much about asking him to bless our desires, but aligning our longings with his desires. It's really about finding out what he's doing, then having the courage to join in. Only this kind of Christian faith is ever truly satisfying and sustaining. Cheaper imitations will always leave you dissatisfied and hungry. Jesus himself explains that his followers would discover him serving others. I'm telling you the solemn truth, he, that's Jesus, whenever you did for one of these to someone or someone similar, you did this for me. And then Steve quotes this. John Stott commented on Jesus' final challenge to his disciples. What was it he said? Go. In other words, do. Fulfill God's work, the promises, and then you will find God with you. The stay-at-home church will never know the intimacy with God that it so craves. For as Christ taught, it's in the act of going that we encounter his presence. And this clearly was Jackie's testimony. What she had discovered was that when she heard the call of God, when she went, the more of God poured into her life. And she became a stunning worker for God, rescuing people's lives, doing all sorts of things, even though for some of it she didn't understand. I think actually there was a point where on her travels to Hong Kong she wasn't even sure of the call. She just knew God was saying to go, and she went in blind faith. But now she's a very respected person. If we can put on the next scriptures up, Richard, I want us just to quickly look at this, these passages. Ephesians 1:22 says this. If we double click, that's it. Hopefully it'll come up. Oh, yeah, great. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Colossians 2:9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. again, next one, Ephesians 1. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I don't know if you can get the picture, but when Christ gave himself to you, he gave all of himself to you. In other words, when you receive Christ, you have the fullness of Christ. And so in a way, to ask for more of God is kind of impossible, because you've got everything of God. And keep flicking, Richard, if you will. This scripture, which I've used quoted loads of times, it's one of my favourite, but 2 Peter 1, verse 3. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world. If you bought a car, let's just say you go out and buy a Rolls Royce, you might be amazed to discover this, but with that type of car, you get virtually everything you need in a car. You don't go back to the dealer and say, actually, can I now have the seats? Or can I have the cassette player? So that dates me a bit. The CD. The CD player. Perhaps if you ask for the cassette player, they would scratch their heads. The CD player. And that's the image of Christ. When he comes into your life, you've got the fullness. That's what Scripture tells us. So it's a strange thing to ask for the more of God, isn't it? When he's saying, you've got everything. Everything you need for godly living is in you now. You can go and do if you know what you're to go and do. I feel that so often we are like the Oliver Twist. We keep putting our bowl out as though God's going to give us some more. As I said, when God spoke to me that Sunday morning and said, you know, Paul, it's actually, you've got this the wrong way around. It is about the fact that if you give your life in faith and obedience and surrender, then you will see more of me. And that is what God is asking for. And when I read that article, I couldn't believe it. I sat there reading and thinking, wow, this is exactly what I'm trying to get to the bottom of. Why is my spirit troubled? And yet I know that there's truth in it. And I think for, you know, for that time when it was like the lights came on. So I hear you say, well, then surely it's not wrong to desire God. Well, of course it's not. Psalm 42 says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. Why, my soul, are you so downcast, says the psalmist. And there's this cry that goes out. But equally, as I thought about that, it's a man hungering and thirsting after God. We should all hunger and thirst after God. Don't leave me, God. Don't allow your presence to go from me. But this was also a man who was discouraged, who was disconnected. If you read further through the psalm, and he was saying, God, I don't want your presence to go. Please don't let us part. And so that I think there is a difference. Then you can say, well, what about the scripture in Ephesians 5, where it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Isn't that asking for more of God? Well, actually, yes, that is. It's a command to ask for the infilling, to go on being filled. But with that filling, I think there is a difference. And I'm going to come to this in a minute. And again, using the illustration of the Rolls Royce, you know, your Rolls Royce, your car, is going to need topping up. You still have to keep putting the fuel on it. They haven't quite developed the scheme yet where you can buy a car and it just keeps filling up with fuel. You have to keep going back to somewhere to be filled up again. So there is a place to be filled up. But what I find interesting is this, is that every time in Scripture where there is an asking for God of the more, it seems to be connected with the Spirit of God. And that's one of the situations. Jesus says to his disciples in Acts 1, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift the Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. You see, the place where we need to be asking for more is for more of the Spirit. Because he equips us to do the acts of service that God wants us to do. You've got everything of God within you, but to be filled constantly, because you will leak. Wasn't it where Jesus was walking through the crowd And it says something of the Spirit. He asked, he stopped, didn't he? He said, who touched me? Because something of the Spirit of God, it says, the power left him. And so you can see there that if things leave, then you need topping up. But it's in the asking for the more, that I believe is the key area. If we're going to be singing, God, I want more of you, cry out for more of his Spirit to fill you so that you can go and do the acts that God has called you to do. Luke 11 is another one. Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. And verse 9, he says this, so I say to you, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Yeah, that's asking for more. But look what it says then further on. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Verse 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The connection seems to be firmly, when you ask, it's to do with the infilling of the Spirit. You've got the fullness of Christ dwelling in you, but you need this constant topping up to go out and do. So when Jackie was getting agitated with the crowd, she wasn't actually telling them off, I don't believe. What she was saying was, turn it the right way up. When you go out and you do what God is calling you to do, you will find the more of God coming in. I have to be honest with you, that has been my personal experience. I wanted to try and pick out some individuals this morning. I did actually go and ask Jess if this is all right, but I'm actually going to not talk in too much detail right now. But if you want to find out why Jess is buzzing at the moment, go and talk to her about some of the things that she's doing. Because I think Jess is alive in God at the moment. And it's because, I believe, she's grasped something, she's heard God speak, and she's going out and doing. And suddenly, her personality, her life of Christ, the fullness of Christ, is overflowing in her life. Do you see what I'm saying? And I could point to others of you here this morning that are doing the same. If I'm honest, that's been my experience with what I'm doing there in Poland. I promise you, I'm not looking or searching for people to minister to. I am finding people are coming to me in the most unusual places at the most unusual times because God spoke several years ago, said, this is a calling upon your life. Will you go and do? And I've stepped into it, and to my amazement, I feel the more of God is just coming in and coming in and coming in. We need to close. Well, shortly we need to close. That's the worst thing you can say as a preacher because you know that he's going to do another 10, 15 minutes. I need to say this very clearly too, that when I talk about the doing in God, unless the doing is God-driven, you will actually exhaust yourself as well. Let's be absolutely, it's not about, oh, I've got to go out and find a homeless person in the village this afternoon and make sure I feed him. It is all about finding out what God is saying to you, hearing it, and then acting to it. And it's like Jackie said, Jesus quoted there in the scripture, and she used it in her illustration with that crowd. Doing the will of Jesus' food was doing the will of his Father in heaven. That's where his nourishment came. That's where the more came. So many times we see in scripture that when people got up to do, God moved on their behalf. You know, Joshua, when they got across the Jordan, the priests go into the river first, and then the waters come. Jesus talks to the lepers, and he says, go to the priest. And it says, as they went on their way, they received their healing from leprosy. Are you getting the picture? We need to hear what God is saying. We then do it, and then God meets us in his fullness. I want as much of God as I can get. I hope that you feel the same. And if that means keep singing those songs and then finding out, then that's great. We're going to keep going down that journey. But the truth is, folks, that unless we journey and go and do, we are still going to be singing the songs every week. And I don't want us to be in a place where, you know, we're still hearing the elementary things of God, still finding the milk instead when Jesus is saying, there's so much meat out here for you to enjoy. I read from the passage in Isaiah, and I just wanted to use this, and we are going to start drawing to a close. But I think this is interesting. Isaiah 60, it says this, "Arise, shine, for the Lord has come." Do you see what he was saying here? He says, arise, shine. That's an action for somebody or something to do. "For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." When you get up from your place, God's glory will come and meet you. It starts with a command to do something. He then says in verse 2, "See, darkness covers the earth, thick darkness is over the peoples." That's part of our commissioning. We live in a dark world. We need to go out. But then it goes on to say, "But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations," it says, "will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Now, you may not encounter a king, but you will encounter a nation. Because wherever you live, you are in a nation. And I think the call upon our lives, we need to push our vision out bigger and not think this is a small little vineyard tucked away somewhere in the fens. We are going to affect a nation by what we do. We are not just throwing, dare I say it in the nicest way, bits of wood together so we can have a lovely building that one day we can all praise God and keep singing, "I want more of you, God." We have got to be believing that God is going to use that, but he can't unless we go and do our bit. Verse 5, "Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth of the seas," it says, "will be brought to you. So the riches of the nations will come." And then it goes on about animals and so on, all coming to you. I believe that's the experience, that's the testimony when we step out. But then I read the next part, which is Isaiah 61. And then you'll know this because this was Jesus, I'll use this as Jesus' calling card, but this was Jesus' statement of his ministry when he first started. And he quoted from Isaiah, "The year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That was a pretty hefty calling, but it sits with us. But do you see the pattern? First of all, you arise, shine, you get on and do, God will bring the people to you, and then your commissioning is to bring the release of Jesus Christ. It's done in that order. And that is what we can look forward to. The lovely thing is, and it's very significant that we're building with oak, it then goes on to say, "You will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord." An oak, as you know, we don't need to keep talking about oak trees, but they're magnificent when they're fully grown. And you will stand out for God like a mighty oak tree when you fulfill your calling. You know, when we compare some of the greatest movements of God to some of the things of today, I think there are times when God moves in superb ways, but I was thinking about the Billy Graham era, and I was thinking, why was that so successful in terms of the movement of God, the Spirit of God at that time? And when I broke it down, I came down to two things. Number one, he preached the gospel, simple and purely. And secondly, his theme was that when you come to Jesus Christ, you give of your all. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. That is, you open yourself up, the fullness of God comes in you, then you can be used. Hundreds and thousands of people responded. And that is still the message to say. I guess I fear that we will continue, if we're not careful, we're just singing many of these songs, unless we actually do open our lives and allow God to do it. In closing, I want to just use this last scripture. Somebody passed this to me this week, and it's great. But it's in 1 John 2. And we'll come to this in just a sec, but it says this, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we will know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." In the Living Bible, verse 5 says what it says on the screen. "Those who do what Christ tells them to will love God more and more." And I think that succinctly sums it up. Get on and do. Love God with all your heart. Do what he's asking you to do. Even if it seems this small, let it grow. It will grow and grow. You will experience the presence of God. The more and more of God will just flow out of you. You won't be crying out for it. You will be throwing it out towards people. They will experience it. But it comes that way round. You open your heart, allow God to move in, and let him see what he wants to do. Amen? Tim.
Come on. Amen. So thank you, Paul, very much. We're going to close now. Just want to encourage you to come along tonight if you're able to. I just wanted to plug Springboard as well. It's our prayer meeting before the service. He says, as he was very late this morning because I was tied up with stuff, but it was incredibly prophetic today. It was amazing words today. Backs up what Paul was saying and stuff like that. So just want to encourage you, come along, be blessed in that. But have a great afternoon and stay around for tea and coffee and fellowship. And God bless you.